The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
In Romans 9, he begins the deep doctrinal treatise, Romans 9, 10, 11, in this great book. In fact, many have said it is like a lawyer's appeal before a packed court, before a jury. And in Romans 9, he says, "I wish that I could barter my saved soul for all the lost souls of those of my Jewish brethren." But he said salvation doesn't work that way. He makes it very clear that just to be tied to Adam in a physical way won't do, for Hagar and Ishmael were tied to Abraham in a physical way, but they were bond servants and cast out, unless we're tied to him through the seed of promise. In the spiritual strain and genealogy that produced the Savior, and his seed was Christ, Galatians 3:16, then we lose out. And so there's a lot of difference in the way we're tied to Abraham. In Galatians 3, he will say, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." Now notice, "And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." So in Romans 9, he makes it clear that you're not Abraham's seed unless you're tied to him through the spiritual son of promise. Unless you are Israel, those who have power with God, because you have obeyed God and have become a prince of God. Read Hosea 12, 1-4 to get this background. And then in Romans chapter 9, in the last verse, he says, "Instead of men being saved by the Lord, he has become a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling for those who are spiritually blind and will not see." In Romans 10, he begins the appeal by saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." He said, some of you are saying, "We'll go down into the abyss and bring Christ up, or we'll reach up into heaven and bring him down." And he said, that's unnecessary. The word is nigh you. It's even preached unto you. "How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the glad tidings," as he quotes from Isaiah. And then he says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they've not all obeyed the gospel," he cries. "Though their sound has gone out into all the earth, men have had an opportunity to hear, they will not listen." And finally, he says, "All day long has the Lord stretched forth his hands to a gainsaying and disobedient people." The gospel of Christ is still God's power to save, and when men reject it, they do so to their own condemnation. In Romans 11, he discusses the fact that any Jew who wants to become a Christian can become one, for he, Paul, is Exhibit A that Jews can be saved by the gospel. He had been a leader of the Jewish faction. He had persecuted Christians. He had helped kill that faithful martyr Stephen, as he said in his speech on the castle stairs in Acts 22. And yet he became a Christian when he obeyed the simple gospel of Christ. One reason Paul was so hated by the Hebrews was he had turned away from Judaism and had become a Christian. And he was an unanswerable argument against their pleas for Judaism revived and the Old Testament still lived. And so Paul makes his appeal to these people. "I have become a Christian. You can if you will." And then he turns to the Gentiles and he says, "Don't you be arrogant. Just because the gospel has been preached to you and you're now in covenant relationship with God, don't you be like the Hebrews were of old and become cocky and arrogant, or you'll be cast off just like they were. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them that fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off." And then he says, "And so all Israel shall be saved through the Redeemer that comes out of Zion." And he quotes Isaiah 59:20, which was future tense when Isaiah wrote it, but present tense when Paul quoted it. The Redeemer had already come out of Zion, Jesus Christ. And so those who had power with God through the spiritual tie to Abraham's seed would be saved through the Redeemer that came out of Zion according to the covenant and the gospel of Christ. God would not turn his back upon his promises and his provisions. The seed of Abraham had come. The Redeemer had come out of Zion. The gospel of Christ is God's power to save. And from the day of Pentecost to the end of time, Men can be redeemed through the Redeemer, even Jesus the Christ. Job cried, I know that my Redeemer lives and shall stand upon the earth in the last days. Job 19:25. And that Jesus did as he walked among men and lived a perfect life and left a matchless, glorious, glad tidings gospel for men to believe, repent, confess their faith in him, and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, that they might come into covenant relationship with God, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 3:19, Acts 5:32, and glorify God because they were not their own, they had been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. The book of Romans is a brilliant book, and in the last few chapters of the book, chapters 12-16, he tells us of the practical nature of Christianity. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're not to return evil for evil, but good for evil. And as much as it depends upon us, be at peace with all men. We're to love our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use us. And then also in chapter 13 of Romans, though they were persecuted by the authorities, he was telling the Christians to obey the rulers, to pray for them, to pay their taxes, to be good and noble citizens, and to owe no man anything but to love one another, Romans 13:8. In Romans 14, he spoke of our influence upon our brethren, even on indifferent matters, such as eating of meats offered to idols. The exact situation doesn't obtain today, but the principle of influence upon a weaker brother still exists, and we need to live in harmony with Romans 14. For Christ pleased not himself, and we're not to receive our brothers to doubtful disputations, but to their edification. Romans 14:19, Romans 15:3. And then, at the end, in Romans 16, he says, the churches of Christ salute you. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you have received, and avoid them. The book of Romans is a glorious book that speaks of the obedience of faith of all nations, Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26. And that's the key. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, Acts 6:7. Elymas turned men away from the faith of the gospel, Acts 13:8. Felix wanted to hear Paul concerning the faith, Acts 24:24. Jude said, contend earnestly for the faith, once delivered the saints, Jude 3. And thus were children of God by faith, Galatians 3:26. This system of faith, the gospel of Christ, which men must obey. The book of Romans, then, is a grand and glorious treatise that brings the whole Bible into focus. The law of Moses had been fulfilled. The gospel of Jesus Christ, now God's power to save. Christ is the end of the law, Romans 10:4. We're dead to the law, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God, Romans 7:4. And so the gospel of Christ, God's power to save, it is a system of faith which begets faith in our hearts and makes us want to believe. And when men obey this system of faith, the gospel, they become new creatures in Christ, raised to walk in a new life, Romans 6:3-5. The book of Romans, then, is a synthesis book that brings together and ties together the Old and New Testaments.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.